William Shakespeare was one of the most well-known and best storytellers of all time, a brilliant playwright. And most of his plays start on a side stage with minor characters. They don't get right to the center stage or the major characters first. They start with minor characters on a side stage. And this is how we begin Advent in a certain sense with some of our characters today in the readings. From the first reading in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we hear about Jesse, a pretty minor character. We hear about this stump of Jesse. Jesse, of course, was the father of King David. But in this story, we hear a foreshadowing of someone greater to come, a shoot that will sprout from the stump of Jesse. And then the gospel, we hear about John the Baptist, another minor character. He doesn't appear very much in the gospels. And so the gospel writers start, as William Shakespeare did, with this minor character who has significance because of what he points to. And when I was in the habit of doing youth retreats in my younger years, we'd often talk about John the Baptist. Sometimes in the context of dismissing small groups, we'd ask a question, what does John the Baptist have to do with Kermit the Frog? More than you might think. And so a hand would go up. They both are associated with water. You're right. Kermit the Frog, of course, is an amphibian, plays in the water. John the Baptist, the baptizer. Then they'd think for a little bit more. Ah, I've got another one. They both eat bugs. You're right. John eating locusts and wild honey in the wilderness. Kermit the Frog, an amphibian eating bugs. And then they'd wait a lot longer, and sometimes the team members would have to whisper in the ear for this one. And then a hand would go up somewhat reluctantly. They have the same middle name. Ah, John the Baptist, Kermit the Frog. Minor characters. But John the Baptist does a lot for us here at the beginning of Advent. He's this voice for the Word. Jesus, of course, is the Word of God coming into the world. But the Word needs a voice. And so John the Baptist is that voice in the desert crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. And when people came to him thinking he was the Messiah, he said, no, 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 don't get me wrong. I am not he. And then later in John's gospel, we hear Jesus say, I am he. That name of God from the Old Testament, I am. Whereas John is, I am not. And then John, of course, has this mantra that Jesus must increase while John decreases. He's a great witness for us here at the beginning of Advent of how we prepare for Christ's coming. And in the gospel today, he talks about that coming. He says, one is coming after me who is greater than me. Coming after you. John's about 30 years old at this time, and so Jesus probably is too. They were born around the same time. So John couldn't be talking about Jesus' first coming in Bethlehem. That's what we often think about at Christmas, isn't it? Jesus coming into the world as a baby. But in the gospel today, he's already come. He's 30 years old. So John is talking about another coming. He says, a coming with fire and the Holy Spirit. A coming with judgment, that Jesus will separate the wheat from the chaff. John is preparing us not only for Jesus' first coming, but for his second coming. The coming that each of us will endure of judgment, of fire. And so John's message of repentance is very real for us. Yet there's not just a first coming and a second coming. It's actually a third coming too. I hinted to it at the beginning of Mass today when I chanted the penitential act. I said, Jesus, you came to gather the nations into the peace of God's kingdom, the first coming. You will come in glory with salvation for your people, the second coming. But there's a third coming that comes in the middle of these. St. Bernard of Clairvaux writes about this. He says, the first and the second coming are visible comings. Anyone could have seen it. But the third coming is invisible. It comes to every human heart that would receive him. This is the coming that most will never receive. But it's the most important for us to receive as we prepare for that second coming. The coming in word and sacrament. This is that third line that I said, Jesus, you come in word and sacrament. And John gets us ready for that coming today as he points to Jesus, as he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, receive here that third coming, that coming in word and sacrament that will strengthen you in holiness. That coming that requires repentance, that requires conversion. This is the important coming that we focus on during Advent. The coming of Jesus to our hearts. The coming in word. Keep reading the Gospel of Luke. Keep coming to Mass and hearing the Scriptures. And the coming in sacrament. Keep receiving the Holy Eucharist. Receive the sacrament of confession. This is the place where Jesus comes in word and in sacrament. So, brothers and sisters, let us prepare well for this coming of Jesus as we focus on his first coming at Christmas and his second coming at the end of time. Let him come to you here today in word and sacrament.